Let's pray together. Our gracious, merciful Father, gracious Father, we come to Thee, thanking Thee, Lord, that we can call ourselves Thy children, purchased through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our gracious Father, we thank Thee that Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, the infinite and the sovereign God, the Creator of the universe, O Lord, that Thou should take notice of us, even sinful rebels, and Thou should gather out for Thyself a people. O Lord, we thank Thee for the plan of salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, for our blessed Mediator and our Savior. Lord, we thank Thee for this triune work. O Lord, we thank Thee for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that great seal of our inheritance. Lord, we pray that as we come now to worship Thee and praise Thee, to sing Thy praises, to offer up prayers, and to open Thy word, O Lord, come by Thy Holy Spirit and receive these prayers and petitions in our worship. Lord, grant us sincerity and to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, that Thou may truly bless us this evening. Prepare us for the coming week. Feed our souls with that bread of heaven, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Increase our faith, gracious Father, and so grant Thy gracious presence by the power of the Spirit, that we, Thy people, may be so helped and equipped to draw near to Thee and to be a light in this dark world. Come, Lord, now we ask, and grant Thy mighty power and Thy blessing. We ask these petitions, asking also that Thou art forgive us afresh of all our sins. We pray all these mercies in our Lord Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Let's sing our first hymn, How Pleased and Blessed Was I. please turn with me in the Word of God to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even for ever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. May the Lord grant us a blessing from the reading of his word. Let's sing our next hymn. The Lord will hear when troubles come. And turning again in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and reading from verse 21. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and reading from verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. May the Lord again grant us a blessing from the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our gracious and merciful, loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we come to thee, O Lord, for through our Lord Jesus Christ, thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the fount of every blessing, the giver of every good gift, O Lord, and we thank thee and praise thee that thou hast brought us into thy light. O gracious Father, how much more grateful we ought to be as thy people. We thank thee and praise thee that thou, the infinite, everlasting God, the God who spoke into existence all things, this universe, the wonders of creation, and yet we, such small and insignificant creatures, we who have sinned away our years, that we can know thee and love thee. O Lord, we thank thee for the privileges of being thy blood-bought children through Jesus Christ, our dear Saviour. Lord, we thank thee for this blessed hope. We thank thee, Lord, that even now in this life, in this world, we are not left orphans. We are not left comfortless. We have the work of the Holy Spirit. We have his keeping power. Lord, how we treasure thy promises. We thank thee for the good work that thou hast started. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast determined to keep us all the way to glory. O Lord, we so appreciate these things. Help us to appreciate them all the more. Help us to cleave to thee and all the promises thou hast given us. Lord, we come again and we ask that thou would forgive us of our many shortcomings, of our many sins in the past week. O Lord, help us to have that earnest desire to grow in grace. Lord, to mortify sins, to overcome besetting sins, to have that desire to be more like our Saviour. Help us, Lord, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to be more patient, more loving, have greater childlike faith, have a greater zeal for thy glory, have a greater desire and a burden to see those around us come to know the Savior as their own. O Lord, we confess that the flesh is weak, and we can be so easily distracted by the things of this passing world. Help us, Lord, we beseech thee, to have that spiritual mindset, to set our affections on things above. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We dedicate ourselves to thee afresh and ask that thou would truly help us and bless us in this coming week and to ever grow closer to our Savior. We thank thee, Lord, that there is that day coming when we will be with thee forever, when faith will give way to sight, and sorrow and pain and antagonism towards thy truth, all these things shall come to an end, and the everlasting ages shall be made manifest. O Lord, even the liberty of the children of God, O Lord, we thank thee for that great and coming day. Help us to live in the light of it. Lord, we do pray for the witness of this church week by week and the ministry of the gospel. Bless thy servants who visit this place. Bless thy servants in this place. Bless every effort to make Christ known. Bring people from this community into this place to hear the words of life. O Lord, save souls in this locality and wherever thy word goes forth on the internet. O Lord, that people, men, women, and children may come to know the Savior, may have eternal life and forgiveness of all sin. O Lord, we plead with thee, so bless the work of the ministry in this place. Bless, gracious Father, the ministry of all thy true servants and all thy faithful preachers and Sunday school teachers and all thy faithful servants and chapels and churches up and down this land. O Lord, we pray that thou would bless those who labor in particular difficulty and isolation, seeing little fruit for their labors. Lord, grant them encouragement this day and bless their labors and save souls. O Lord, we think of this nation again. We think of the rising generation. O Lord, we see such wickedness, such evil flooding in. The enemy truly has come in like a flood. Lord, raise up a standard. O Lord, we beseech thee, come by the mighty power of thy Holy Spirit and breathe thy spirit into thy two witnesses again, that they may stand on their feet. O Lord, we plead with thee that in these last days that thou would yet have pity and mercy on yet many more souls. O Lord, our heart goes out to the rising generation, clueless of the judgment coming. We, as thy people, stand in the gap and plead with thee, Lord, that thou would yet in thy wrath remember mercy and yet draw many more needy sinners to the Savior. Bless thy servants in other lands who suffer great persecution even at this present hour for thy name's sake. O Lord, uphold them, and if it please thee, even deliver them from persecution. But O Lord, so bless their witness that Christ may be glorified. Sustain them, Lord, and that even through their witness souls will be saved. Lord, we pray that thou would bless those who mourn, bless those who are laid aside and sick, those who cannot be with us this evening due to ill health and other difficulties, Lord. O gracious Father, impart to them a blessing. O Lord, comfort them and encourage them in thy word. And O Lord, as we come to thy word now, we pray that thou would speak to us. O Lord, feed us. Come by thy Spirit now and awaken our desire to love thee, to serve thee, to live for thee. O Lord, bless us indeed, we beseech thee. Receive our prayers and petitions. We ask all these mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing our third hymn. Let worldly minds this will pursue. Turning now in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and reading verse 25. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and reading verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And my title for this evening's message is Christ, our Consolation. This is the phrase, particularly at the end of verse 25, that wonderful name of Christ, the Consolation of Israel. That is the name of Christ. It's one of hundreds of names Christ is given in the Scriptures. So many names our dear Savior has. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily of the Valley. He is the Bread of Life. He is the Bright Morning Star. The list goes on and on. What I endeavor to do this evening is just have a devotional study on this precious name of Christ, our consolation, the consolation of Israel, the spiritual Israel. The spiritual Israel existed in the New Testament time and in the Old Testament time. There was the physical Israel, descendants of Abraham, but then there was the spiritual Israel within Israel, those who love the Lord, and now it's the Church of Christ in every age, Jew and Gentile. The consolation of his people. Well, most people in Israel at this time were not looking forward to the consolation of Israel. They were not anticipating the first coming of Messiah. They weren't looking at the Old Testament scriptures with great anticipation. Most of them sought consolation in this world. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, for example, they looked for consolation in the praise of men, the praise and the adulation of men, and in the words of Christ, they already have their reward. But there were a minority. There were a minority of folk waiting for the consolation of Israel. These were very difficult times for that nation. A few centuries earlier, the Jews probably suffered the most bitter persecution in their history. Between the Testaments, that Syrian oppressor, Antiochus Epiphanes, he attempted not only to change the culture of the Jews, to Hellenize that culture, but he also interfered with their worship. And that was drawing a line for the Jewish people. And that was, I'm sure you know this history, it resulted in the Maccabean Revolt. And there seemed to be a glimmer of hope that Israel would now at last become again a sovereign nation, regaining its sovereignty. Because as I'm sure you know, they had been under the shadow for centuries of world empires, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and during this phase, it was the Greek Empire. And there was a hope that they were regaining their sovereignty. But not long after that, they found themselves again under the yoke of the Romans. And William Hendrickson, that wonderful commentator now with the Lord, he says this concerning these difficult times, according to this verse. To be sure, the conditions were bad in Israel around the time of Christ's birth. The loss of political independence, a cruel king, King Herod on the throne, the externalization of religion, legalistic religious leaders, the silence of the voice of prophecy. But amidst the darkness and despair were men and women waiting for the consolation of Israel. So believers back then and now have this thing in common. We're waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for his first coming, and we are waiting for his second coming. And Our Lord Jesus Christ is our consolation in two major ways. Firstly, He is our consolation by faith. We can access Him and appreciate Him and know Him and love Him now by faith. So this is the first way in which He is our consolation. Just like it was the case with the believers awaiting the coming of the Lord the first time, they also accessed the Savior by faith, by going back to the Scriptures, by their worship, their form of worship in the temple. And if you go further back and you look at the sacrificial system, those who were sincere Jews, there weren't many, but those who were sincere believers and they were looking for the coming Messiah, they understood that the sacrifices and the ceremonial washings and all these things were speaking about the coming Redeemer who would accomplish salvation for them. And there weren't many, but those who were waiting, they were eagerly anticipating this. They so looked forward to the coming of Messiah, as was the case with Simeon. The wonderful promises also in the Scriptures concerning His coming and the amazing prophecies concerning His birth, His miraculous birth, they were anticipating. But this is the case with us as well. We are waiting for the consolation of Israel, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do ourselves immense injustice when we don't access our Savior now by faith. Well, a Christian might respond to that by saying, well, of course I access the Lord by faith. I do this. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. Yes, that is the case. But our faith and accessing our Lord by faith is a very comprehensive thing. I need to explain what that means. So we come to the house of God for worship on the Sunday and a day in the week, and we appreciate the ministry, and that may be the argument a Christian may make. I come to the Lord's house, I appreciate these things. Oh, that's a good start. But do you only do that? Do you not appreciate the Lord? And do you not lay hold on the means of grace by reflecting upon these things often? Thinking about the fact that you've been adopted into His family, that you're a forgiven person. Do you often reflect upon how He saved you, that you're rescued from the wrath to come? Do you reflect upon these things? Do you meditate upon these things? And of course, there's the obvious things about having that secret time with your Savior every day in prayer and worship and the study of His Word. The promises of God, so precious. This is one of the ways which we also access our Savior by faith, by appreciating the many promises He's given us. There's that one very special, I'll just give this as an example, there's that one very special promise in Matthew chapter 11, starting from verse 28 to the end of the chapter. Now, when you think of this promise, from a preacher's point of view, I immediately think a gospel text. This is for lost souls. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh yes, this is for lost souls. It is applicable to those who are lost. It is an invitation of Christ for lost sinners to come and receive rest. Rest from the burden of sin. But it's equally applicable to God's people. It's equally applicable to God's people. We can receive, as God's people, the rest of Christ, even in the most impossible circumstances in our Christian walk. That is a promise. It's not an if, I will give you rest. It's really, the Christian life is a paradox. Because even in the heat of spiritual warfare, we can know such help, such blessing, such peace, such joy. I'm just going to briefly read some verses of this wonderful hymn by Charles Wesley. This is the peace of Christ. This is the rest that Christ promises to His people. Listen to this. Jesus, my all in all Thou art, my rest in toil, my ease in pain, the medicine of my broken heart, in war my peace, in loss my gain, my smile beneath the tyrant's frown, in shame my glory and my crown, in want my plentiful supply. Goes on and on. Charles Wesley looks at the paradox of the Christian life, in poverty, in war, and at the same time you can receive mighty blessing and sustaining grace. This is exclusive to God's children. Worldlings do not know this. It's alien to them. But we have it. And it's God's promise. You can receive this mighty blessing and help and peace and rest and strength as a child of the living God. So these are wonderful things to reflect upon. And there are some examples of Scripture. We can go to Scripture and we can see some examples of how the Lord helped his servants in this way. Go back to the Old Testament in the time of David. He's in Philistine territory. David, what on earth are you doing there? You shouldn't be there. Well, he was so wearied. He was so frustrated. He was so worn out by this constant living life as a fugitive. And his faith was growing weak and he was full of doubts. And he thought, Saul will one day catch up with me and he will kill me. I just better go into... But the Lord delivered him on those two occasions. And he should have believed, well, the Lord will continue to protect me. But he went into Philistine territory and he got himself into a lot of trouble. I don't have time to explain. And he set up a base in Ziklag, territory near in the Judea territory. And he and his men were away from that area. And they came back and they returned. And the Amalekites plundered and raided that place. And they took everything. They took their wives, they took their children, they took everything. And David's men and David, they were so upset, they were weeping, they were so distraught naturally. And David's men were so upset with David. I assume that they kind of had the back of their minds, we never should have come to this place. David, why did you do this? And they were ready to take David's life. And what do we read? David encouraged himself in the Lord, thou hidden source of calm repose. So David knew the peace of Christ in such circumstances. What was he thinking about? This can't be the end. I remember Samuel anointing me with oil, telling me that I will be king of Israel and my future offspring will be the Messiah. This cannot be the end. I'm not king yet. I will reflect upon the promises. And he reflected on things like this and he received mighty encouragement in impossible circumstances. And what about, there's many other scriptures we can go to. I'll go to one more in the New Testament, a classic one. Paul and Silas thrown into a Philippian dungeon, wounded and beaten. And at midnight, they were praising the Lord with such gladness of heart. What a testimony. No doubt that contributed to the conversion of the Philippian jailer. Of course, when the earthquake came, that was the tipping point. But these are wonderful things to reflect upon. Christ, our consolation by faith. Our consolation by faith is very comprehensive. We have so much to reflect upon. There are so many promises God has given us. There are so many doctrines. These things are incredibly practical. So it's so important to understand this. And then this leads me to the second major way in which Christ is our consolation. He is our consolation. And the clue is in the verse. I wonder if you can spot it in verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, our verse for this evening. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. There it is, right there, waiting. That's the clue. That's the second major way in which Christ is our consolation. He was anticipating the coming of the Savior. And that's the same thing we must do. We access him by faith now, but we also anticipate a great deal more. We anticipate the day when he will come and gather us to himself. This is the second major way. To have this hope is so important. It's so important in the Christian life. Why is it so important? Well, one of the reasons, there are other reasons, but one of the reasons is our apprehension of him now is imperfect. We still have our fallen human nature to contend with, and the flesh is weak, and we sin, and we grieve the Holy Spirit, and sometimes the Lord can withdraw himself as a result, and sometimes he withdraws himself to test our faith and other such reasons. But that's an important thing to understand. Our apprehension of him now is far from perfect, but there's a time coming when that will no longer be the case. And there's this wonderful This wonderful truth is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. The Apostle Paul sums it up so beautifully in these profound and mysterious words. For now we see through a glass darkly. We can see him by faith. We can appreciate him, but it's not crystal clear. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. So it's critical that we access our Savior by faith, but we also anticipate far greater things. We anticipate being with him and appreciating him and loving him and worshiping him without the tainting of sin. The second coming of Christ, anticipating our Lord, is also a vital part of our sanctification. And my proof text for this, I'm sure you may have an idea where I'm going, is 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If I have this hope within me, that my dear Lord is coming, and I reflect upon it, it has a sanctifying, a purifying effect upon me. And this is so important. So it's an important part of our sanctification. Remember the Apostle Paul? How he was taken up into glory? He wasn't sure whether it was physical or whether it was a vision. He cannot tell. But he went into the third heaven. He went into heaven itself, and he saw things that he wasn't allowed to utter. And he was so mightily encouraged, and he needed to be, because he would suffer a lot for his Lord after that. He suffered before that point, but he would suffer a great deal more. And I can imagine that so encouraged him to persevere. He had a small taster of glory, knowing that at the end of his life he would receive that eternal weight of glory. So there's infinitely more of our Savior to appreciate and enjoy, which is reserved for glory. Now we can appreciate him by faith, and the Lord often warms our hearts, and we so appreciate the promises he's given us, and we read about him in the Gospels, and we marvel at him and his perfections, and we survey the promises, and we see the lessons in the Scriptures, and we are encouraged. But this is just a foretaste of what is to come, and we must long for this. There'll be a time coming when faith will no longer be needed. We will see him in his glorious splendor and his glory. No more sin, no more sorrow. We will know his uninterrupted loving embrace to such an extent that all the reproaches and persecutions, especially for those who are persecuted, 1 hour in glory will make amends for it all. These are precious things to reflect upon. So we must access him by faith, but we must also anticipate far greater things. And longing for and anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no idle activity, but it helps us. It encourages us as God's servants. It's designed to encourage us mightily as God's servants. If you've made up your mind as a Christian to be a witnessing Christian, to serve your Lord, to be a light in a dark place, you will be attacked by Satan. It's inevitable. You will be hounded by Satan. If you, on the other hand, if you just feed on the word, and you go to the house of God, and you drink in these things, but you don't live out your faith, then Satan, you won't have much trouble. So those who long to serve their Lord and be a light for him and be a light in this dark world, Satan will attack them. And sometimes they'll be overwhelmed by the intensity of the spiritual warfare. The servants of God know this particularly, and they feel it. And they live in a world which is hostile to their faith. And often we as God's servants, we're fatigued, we're tired. And the future consolation is constantly reminding us, your faith, your labor is not in vain. Press on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that wonderful encouragement, the Apostle Paul, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's never in vain. This consolation, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is no consolation for those who seek consolation in the things of this world. And we as those who preach the gospel, we're constantly warning people who do not know the Lord that they will only be disappointed. You cannot find true consolation in this world. But even Christians can fall into this trap where they lose sight of their Lord by faith, and the things of this world so distract them that the wonder and the glory and the blessedness of our Savior, well, we cease to set our affections on things above. And that's tragic when that does happen. Think of this. Our Lord Jesus Christ greatly anticipates being with us in glory. He anticipates it. My proof text is Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The joy of purchasing for himself his people, his dear, precious people. He purchased his people on that cross. And for the joy of being with his people, he was willing to suffer the cross and the shame. So if he anticipates it, how much more should we anticipate being with him, that our Lord, by his Holy Spirit, may knit our hearts closer to him all the more? Well, as I draw to conclusion, there's a real danger as Christians living in an affluent society as we do. And you may say, well, it's not so affluent now because of lockdown and all these things, and people have lost their jobs, and things are hard at the moment. Well, if you go back 100 years and you see how people were living then, families all living in one room and people living in absolute squalor compared to what it's like today. So these are affluent times, despite lockdown and the things that have gone past. But, and there's a warning for us in Scripture that if we depend upon these things, God has given the things we have to enjoy and appreciate, but my greatest affection and appreciation and love should be reserved for spiritual things, for the Lord. We must guard our affections, our joys, and reserve them for spiritual things. We can appreciate the things we have in the world, but we must be careful. We must be so careful. Remember God's warning to Jeremiah's scribe in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 45, verse 5. Let me read this for you. This is God's warning to Jeremiah's scribe. I'll explain the context briefly. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. I do feel for Jeremiah's scribe. Not only Jeremiah, but he had it very hard. Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, and yet he was hated by his own countrymen. He was despised. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. He so longed to see his fellow countrymen receive the grace of God. He so had such a heart. He had such a heart for the people, and yet he was despised. His life was threatened constantly. He was left in a ditch to die at one point. And obviously, Jeremiah's scribe also felt the heat as well. And he was longing for a time when this isn't fair, this isn't right. My master is being reproached, and so am I. And yet he's God's servant, and the false prophets are being elevated, and they're receiving all the praise. This is not right. And he was hoping that there would be a time when things would be turned the right way, where Jeremiah would be elevated and appreciated, and so would he. And here's God's warning. Don't put your hopes and your consolations in this life. You'll only be disappointed, Barak. That was his name. I will spare you. I will deliver you from the judgment coming. But your idea of being elevated before the people, it's not going to happen. I will preserve you. Your consolation is in the afterlife. So that was God's warning to him, but the same applies to us. But because the flesh is weak, it's so easy to let this great hope slip from our minds. And we must also, I think it's important to include in our prayers this important issue. Lord, help me to keep my eye on that great and coming day. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Our Lord's words in Matthew 24. It's so important, this second aspect of Christ being our consolation, anticipating his coming, as well as accessing him by faith now. When we let this hope slip from our minds, we forfeit so much blessing, including the Lord helping us in his service. He does help us in his service, even when we fail him. But we receive all the more help when we are faithful in these things. Well, these are just some of the lessons we learn in our need to anticipate the coming of Christ, our consolation. And may these thoughts and may this scripture inspire us in our service to bring others also to this great hope. Amen. Well, let's sing our last hymn. I am waiting for the dawning. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.